So welcome to Confessions of a Serial Seller. My guest today is known as Mr. Charge Higher Prices. He's the CEO and founder of Sales Adrenaline. He's a keynote global sales speaker and runs a fantastic sales training company. Scott Sorrell, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tony. Phenomenal to be here.
No, I love it.
Yeah, from Southern California to Great Britain.
Absolutely.
Spanning the globe.
Absolutely, my friend. So, Scott, I like to always start these for my audience to know a bit about how you got into the world of sales and how you coined the name Charge Higher Prices, Mr. Charge Higher Prices. So tell me a bit about your journey and how you got into the world of sales to begin.
Well, Tony, I wasn't always Mr. Charge Higher Prices. As a matter of fact, when I started as a professional speaker in about 2002, for my first 2 years, 3 years or so, I would pretend I had always, you know, because you're trying to build credibility at that point in your career, right? I had been an entrepreneur, I had been in corporate life. And so I would, you know, to my audiences, I would pretend that I was, you know, Mr. Successful. I had always been, you know, just amazingly successful at sales and marketing and negotiation, all the things that I was teaching. And it dawned on me finally that audiences resonate better when you tell the truth about how your past and how terrible you were.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it just comes across more genuine. And so I had to start confessing that I wasn't always Mr. Charge Higher Prices. As a matter of fact, I was Mr. Charge Lower Prices. I was Mr. Charge the lowest prices at first. And, you know, I had to learn, you know, how to become someone who would charge for his value.
Yeah.
You asked where I came from. I was a philosophy major in college, not business. I had no intention of going into business.
Yeah.
And I ended up, matter of fact, business was the last thing I wanted to do. I didn't like business. I didn't like the thought of business. What's funny is I still don't even like the thought of money. And I'm Mr. Charge Higher Prices, right? But I'm the guy that would just help you and do something for you because it needed to be done, because I had the talent, the expertise, how can I help you?
Yeah.
And, you know, so when I got into business kicking and screaming just out of necessity, because I had to make money, I was woefully ill-equipped. Yeah. And I started as a graphic designer. I had some raw design talent as an artist. And so I started as a designer, always the lowest price. I was charging literally 10% of what my competitors in the same area were charging.
Gosh.
And yeah. And so I ended up buying, I was subbing out, subcontracting work out to a printing company. And I ended up through a fortuitous circumstance buying that printing company, and then turned it into, you know, design, printing, and marketing, you know, from coast to coast throughout the U.S. And I was still, Tony, I was sleeping on the floor of my warehouse with my dog, Winston.
Jeez.
You love that name, right, Winston?
Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, his name was Sir Winston.
Love it. Tell me he smokes a cigar.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Big red Doberman. He was my warehouse dog. I was sleeping on the floor of my warehouse with him for about 5 years because I could not afford a place to live.
Wow.
I could barely keep the lights on, keep my employees paid because I charged so little. I couldn't even afford to get myself a place to live. And I was sneaking into the gym, into the gymnasium, into the locker room at the local university, California State University at Fullerton, to take showers because I did not have a shower. Okay. And real quick, fast forward. Now, in addition to speaking all over the world for phenomenal companies, I am a professor in the marketing department at Cal State Fullerton.
Love it. Love that. That's awesome. I love that. So you're known now as Mr. Charge High Prices. So what was the catalyst in your life where you realized I'm massively, massively undercharging?
Well, after my 5 years or so as a pure entrepreneurial venture, I sold that company, kind of just parted it out, And then I was hired as vice president of an advertising agency, which had been a client of mine and liked my work. And so I started, you know, I started in the professional selling realm. I mean, I was closing deals with multinational corporations and charging full price, high prices, and realize I can do this. But here's what's interesting, Tony. I analyzed this years later, and I thought, why was I able to do that? It was because I was selling someone else the agency and not myself. Mm. You see, I was stuck selling with my own wallet when it came to selling my value.
Yes.
But if I know the value of someone else, I can sell, you know, Tony Morris all day long. I can get you $50,000 for a speaking engagement because Tony is the greatest guy in the world. Yeah. But you know, for Scott Sorrell to be on stage, well, I mean, you know, who am I? I mean, what do I know? Well, turns out I learned over time by being corporate life for various companies and working my way up in on the corporate ladder for 10, 15 years, that's when I learned that there are ways to get customers to pay more. And I started using those, employing those. And in about 2002, when I became a professional speaker, I was speaking on sales, persuasion, negotiation, marketing. And within about 3 years, all of my topics started coalescing because my audiences really would resonate when I would speak on how to charge higher prices and get your customers to thank you for it. Yeah. And I would teach them techniques for how to charge higher prices and get your customers to thank you for it. And I started speaking on this more and more, and people started saying, hey, well, you're kind of like Mr. Charge Higher Prices, aren't you? And I was kind of like, well, yes, I am. and so a brand was born, Tony. I became that. Mr. Charge Higher Prices. And, you know, my speaking fees are nice. And let's say things socially good. Acceptable now.
I was going to say, Scott, if you could get me $50,000 for a speaking engagement, I'll make you my agent. I'd be delighted. You know, that's something we'll have to talk about offline. So tell my audience, I know I'm desperate to hear it, and I'm sure my audience are as well. What's the secret? How do you command the sort of fees that you are super proud of that, you know, makes you maybe the most expensive in your marketplace?
Well, that's a very good question. And I get that all the time. I'll meet someone at a networking function. Oh, well, what's the secret? Well, there is no one secret. I've identified more than 80. And I think now it's probably more than 100, but I've said more than 80 for years. So more than 80 different techniques, methods, strategies for getting customers to pay more than they thought they were going to pay, but still they be happy they did so. And These techniques are all about increasing the customer's perception of value.
Yes.
Which increases their WTP. WTP is an economic term for willingness to pay.
Nice.
So when you increase perception of value, it increases WTP, willingness to pay. And I teach this to my corporate audiences around the world. I teach this to my university students. And I unpack various ways to get people to see higher value. And there are, I mean, and what I like to do, I'm not a complicated guy. I'm not a theoretical guy. I mean, theory is interesting to me because
you studied philosophy, right?
Yeah. Philosophy and everything, but it's irrelevant to me if it doesn't work.
Yes.
So I'm the guy that I'll read a new PhD study, for instance, on consumer behavior or on pricing or on persuasion technique. And I will take that PhD study and I'll boil it down and wrap it up into a 5 or 10 minute teaching module.
Yes.
That allows my audience to say, oh, I get it. I can apply that right now. And they'll go out that afternoon or the next morning and I will get feedback. And matter of fact, one of the most gratifying things I ever did is I get to speak at entrepreneurial conferences, you know, all over the country, you know, in addition to the corporate, you know, platforms that I speak on. And there was one particular conference where that had 200 or 300 entrepreneurs. And I spoke in the morning, and after lunch, a guy ran up to me and just gave me a big hug. I didn't know where this came from, right? I'm going, hey, who are you? Because he's this big, burly, hairy guy, right? And I said, well, what's your name? He goes, oh, and he told me, and he owns a tow truck service, you know, for towing cars that are stranded. And is that what you, call it that?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So he owned this service, and he said, Scott, when you were done speaking, I called my office and I said, listen, this is what I just heard this guy talk. This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to say, and try it. Let me know how it works. And he said, Scott, in the last few hours, because, you know, I've got a lot of different trucks and we've got a lot of, you know, we do, he was the president of that state's tow truck association, you know, so he had a big operation. He said, in the last few hours, we have doubled our prices and we are getting no pushback at all. We used to get pushback on our prices. And now with this one technique that I told them to use that you taught us, we're getting twice the price with no price objections. He said, this blows my mind. This is like magic. Thank you.
That's incredible. So obviously you've got 80 strategies, and I was going to ask you what's your top three, but I want to include the one that this guy used, the tow truck company. Share with us, what was that technique? And then tell us a couple more, because I can't wait to embed this myself.
Okay. Well, I'm a, you know, being a philosophy major, I'm a student of psychology. And of course, all sales is psychology, right? Because it's not, I mean, I teach, you know, the professional selling process, you know, prospecting, rapport, needs analysis, presentation, overcome objections, close, follow, referrals, meaning introductions, all the way through the, you know, the steps of the selling process. But we have to understand, really, if we ask the salesperson, you know, what should be the steps of the selling process, it wouldn't be an 8-step selling process like I teach. No. It would be a 2-step process, prospecting and closing.
Yeah.
Hi, Tony. Great to meet you. Sign here.
Absolutely.
But because we have to get into the customer's head, because we have to use good psychology to get them to see our value before they buy from us, and especially to get them to see a high value, we have to understand, okay, there are things we have to do that get them to understand and appreciate that value and increase their WTP, their willingness to pay. Excuse me.
I get that. So I'm curious with the tow truck, because to me, that's a service, right? The tow truck driver picks up a stranded vehicle and tows the vehicle back. And let's say he charges, I don't know, $200 a pickup. How would he suddenly now charge $400 for the same service?
Okay, great question. Well, the technique that he used, the technique that I teach, I call this raise the ceiling. Raise the ceiling. So let me give an example. Let's say, and let's boil this down to a product. Let's pretend we have a product in our hands. So if you have a $1,000 product available, what can you sell to your customers? Well, I mean, my very smart audiences, they'll shout back, a $1,000 product.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you have a $1,000 product, what you can sell to your customers is a $1,000 product. Now, more advanced question. If you now want to sell a $2,000 product to your customers, what do you need to add to your product lineup? And of course, someone will finally shout out, a $2,000 product. And I congratulate them and I say, very good, because the smartest audiences in the world always tell me the same thing. You have to add a $2,000 product to your lineup now to get them to buy a $2,000 product.
Yeah.
And I also always tell them that my answer to that is wrong. If you now want your customers, to buy a $2,000 product from you. You need to add a $2,000 and a $3,000 product to your lineup because buyers tend to gravitate to the middle of your price range.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because if you offer what I call dual purchase options, you know, say the $1,000 and $2,000 product, research shows, study after study, if you give them dual purchase options, where do you think they'll buy, Tony, the higher or the lower?
Lower.
Lower. Absolutely. If you give them two options, they'll buy the lower option because that $2,000 product is your price ceiling. And most people don't want to bump their heads on your price ceiling.
Yeah.
So my technique is called raise the ceiling. So you raise that ceiling by giving them a $3,000 option and suddenly they become comfortable buying the $2,000. And here's why, because that $3,000 option, or in your case, 3,000 pounds. Yeah. now that we're back on the pound sterling.
Absolutely.
But here in America, right, a $3,000 product. Well, what we call that, there's a technical term for that one, because that one, the reason it's 3,000 because it has all what we call the bells and whistles, right? It's got the, you know, if you're buying an ice cream, it's got the whipped cream, the nuts, the cherry on top, right? It's got the red carpet concierge service. Yeah. It's got, you know, the CEO's cell phone number 24/7. Yeah. It's got everything packed into it.
Yeah.
But there's a technical term for that $3,000 product that has everything packed in. And we call that the decoy.
Nice.
The decoy.
I love that. And do you advise with that, once you create, let's say, a bronze, silver, gold, and the gold is the decoy, do you recommend, Scott, having silver saying most popular as the middle?
Yeah, that's a good question, because, you know, when I buy, you know, SaaS products online or different things online all the time, you know, the middle one says, you know, most popular.
Absolutely.
And I know, you know, personally, that in most cases, that's completely bogus.
Yeah.
Completely bogus. They just put that in the graphic. Now, it may be true for different customers. Sometimes I like to look at the source code on the back end of a website.
Yeah.
And see, you know, it says, you know, like 23 other people are looking at this product, right?
Yeah.
And you look on the back end at the source code, and there is a random number generator for that piece of that code there. So I don't always believe that stuff, but statistically, buyers tend to gravitate to the middle of your price range.
Yeah.
And so oftentimes, they look at and here's the point. They look at the top at the top product, and they say, "Gosh, you know, I'd love to have that. That's too expensive. I can't afford that."
Yeah.
They look at the bottom and they say, "Well, I don't want to settle for the quality of that one. That doesn't have enough. So I will compromise for the middle. It's got a little bit of the best of both worlds." And then there's a whole psychology on how close to put the pricing on each one to get people to, and we're not going to go into that today.
Yeah.
But having a good, better, best option can revolutionize the way people do business with you. And matter of fact, you can go up to four, you'll see, and even sometimes five. I don't recommend ever going beyond five, because then that starts to confuse the customer. And a confused mind, as you know, cannot make a decision. And we'll get the objection, you know, I've got to think about it. Well, if you give them too many choices, they literally do have to think about it.
So I love that. And I can, this resonates with me when I go to a nice restaurant with the wife or with friends. And you know, I look at the wine list and I normally go for the middle. You don't want to seem like the pikey and go for the cheapest bottle of wine, but you don't want to be too flash or think, I don't impose that on my guests. So you go for the middle option, right? So I get where you're coming from. So I have a question for you. A lot of my clients are real estate, estate agents. In the UK, we call it estate agents. In America, I think you call it real estate. And one thing they're really struggling with at the moment is their fees, their prices, where constantly their competition are dropping, and they feel forced to drop their fees. What's your best advice of how they can either maintain their fees or raise their prices?
That's a great question. And we have the same thing because, you know, for years I've worked with real estate agencies and companies and brokers all over America. Matter of fact, the last time I was in Albania, I spoke to a group of 450 real estate agents.
Perfect.
And, you know, so this is a phenomenon, a struggle, if you will, all over the world. And it's not just in real estate. I mean, there's downward price pressure because your customers will always try to commoditize you.
Yeah.
They'll say, oh, well, you're just like the next person. I mean, you know, you don't offer anything different. So, you know, I'm getting, you know, because over here, a standard real estate commission, you know, traditionally is 3% per side.
Yeah.
So 3% to the buyer's side, 3% to the seller's side on for the agents. Is that similar?
No, with our, in the UK, it's about 1% for the seller. So if I'm looking to buy a property, the vendor, the seller will pay 1% fees of the sale price.
And that's it?
That's it. Now, the good agents that I train, I get them to charge 3% if they're very high end, so that they're dealing with an average property price of maybe 3 million. But the good agents will charge maximum 2%, and they are seen as the same as the 1% agents.
Right. Very good. Well, you can, I mean, as a real estate agent, you can use the raise the ceiling technique.
Definitely.
You can have different levels of service, different degrees of marketing that you do. But here's what's very interesting. And this is from personal experience. One house that I sold a number of years ago, I used to own four houses on my block down here by Newport Beach in California, which was kind of cool. But one of my properties I sold. And now the real estate agent that I selected, I didn't actually select, my wife did. And she said, oh, I ran into, you know, so-and-so, you know, the real estate agent, you know, today over at the local hardware store.
Yeah.
And I said, well, how did you get in that conversation? And she said, well, I looked at him and I said, hey, your picture's on my refrigerator everywhere, on magnets and on notepads and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I said, I need to sell one of my properties. He said, no problem. So I sat down with him, nice guy. And now this was going to be a very easy sale for him because he already had a buyer.
Yeah.
It was an all cash buyer.
Yeah.
This buyer was a real estate broker.
Right.
Okay.
Amazing.
So a sophisticated buyer, there's going to be no hitches, no glitches, no problem, no hassle. And it was, I think it was like going to be an 11-day escrow. I mean, just fast, done, easy.
Yeah.
He had no work to do whatsoever.
Yeah.
Nothing. And I said to him after you know, we were done talking about doing the transaction and it had agreed in principle, I said, well, you know what, how much do you charge? And I'll never forget, we're sitting there at my dining room table and he looks at me and he said, Scott, I like to think I'm worth, what did he say? He said, I'm trying to remember which transaction it was, but he said, Scott, I like to think I'm worth 2%. And I looked at him. And now, because I knew he had no work to do. And this was almost $1 million transaction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do the math here.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
This guy's going to make, you know, $20,000.
Yeah.
For
nothing.
Almost nothing. And he said, I like to think I'm worth 2%. And I looked at him and I said, and no sound would come out, Tony. Nothing would come out.
Yeah.
Because to disagree with him would have been to what?
Yeah, it's almost would've, not just up to offend him.
Exactly. It would have been to insult him because he said, I like to think I'm worth
2%. That.
He didn't say the transaction fee will be 2%. I charge 2%.
Yeah.
The deal will be 2% or my price is 2%. He said, I like to think I'm worth 2%. And I had no comeback. I had no words. And I told him that day, I said, Jeff, I said, I'm going to pay your 2%. I know I don't have to. I know I could get at least a 0.5% knocked off and sell myself $5,000.
Yeah.
But he said, I said, I'm going to pay it because what you just did to me was brilliant. Yeah. And I'm going to teach it to real estate agents all over the country and all over the world.
I love that. And that's worth the $5,000. Yeah. I love that. Like, that's so powerful. Let me ask you, what's been, Scott, some of the best advice? You know, I know you've been on the stage with Eric Swanson at his virtual summits or global summits. He introduced us, the Habitude Warriors, Les Brown, some of the best speakers in the world. What's some of the best advice you've ever been given that in your sales career?
Well, you're right, Tony. I've shared the stage with just amazing, I mean, stellar personalities. And, Les Brown, you mentioned, Sharon Lecter, Mark Victor Hansen, Jack Canfield, Chicken Soup for the Soul. Roger Dawson, Secrets of Power Negotiating. Phenomenal. I recommend all of them highly.
Yeah.
But, thinking about it, some of the best sales advice I ever got was from a sales manager at a company that I was speaking for probably 15 years ago. And he said, because I was teaching, one of the things I was teaching his people, and this was an educational institution, a for-profit college. We have, regular state universities and nonprofit, but there's also for-profit like trade universities.
Yeah.
And this was for, I believe, computers and technology. And I spoke to their salespeople, which were, of course, the admissions reps.
Yeah.
And I was teaching the selling process, how to prospecting, how to build rapport, get that connection with people. And he came up to me and he said one thing. He said, Scott, you are so right. Because I had taken them through objection handling and closing. He said, you are so right about building rapport and making that a foundation of your interaction. He said, I learned a long time ago, and I'll never forget what this guy said. And he didn't say it in a crass way.
Yeah.
He didn't say it in a manipulative way. It was just coming from his heart because he was a genuine guy with a lot of integrity. And he said, Scott, I learned a long time ago, you've got to reach their hearts before you can reach their pocketbooks.
Yeah, I love that.
And I went, wow, that is a wonderful way to summarize the fact that selling is a person-to-person business. Sometimes people say, well, we're in B2B sales, we don't do business to consumer, we're not selling to people, we're selling to companies.
Yeah.
And I call them on their crap, if you will, right? I say, really? Tell me, how many times you ever sold to a company and had the company sitting in front of you?
Yeah.
You've got it. You're selling to people. Even online, you're not finding companies push that buy button or that buy now button, right?
Yeah.
So what I teach, and the techniques that I teach, there are techniques for in person. And for online and for how to construct web pages, it's all marketing, negotiation, increasing perception of value. You still have to reach them emotionally.
Yes.
Because I have said for many years, and I can't remember when this phrase first came to my mind, but closing, decision making happens at the intersection of logic and emotion.
Yes.
Closing happens at the intersection of logic and emotion. There's no pure, Mr. Spock, right? Completely logical.
Yeah.
Right? There's no pure logic and there's no pure SpongeBob, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's a combination of Spock and SpongeBob, and you gotta reach both halves to get them to make a decision and to get that decision to stick. So I would say the best advice is to stop, you know, with all the reason, and connect on a heart level with people, and that makes all the difference in the world.
Amazing. I love it. What great advice. And I love the Spock and SpongeBob. I can always imagine how you on stage with the big ears. I love that. You've shared some amazing ideas, Scott, and I really appreciate this, that I know that I can implement. And I'll be honest, I use in my training company, I have a bronze, silver, gold package for what you've said, actually. I've raised the ceiling. But I love the words, you know, I feel I'm worth, because you're so right. No one wants to argue with that. I love that. Absolute gold. Scott, thank you so much for your time. Where's the best place if my audience want to find out more about you, learn about some of your amazing content? Where should they reach out to you?
Well, they can reach Mr. Charge Higher Prices at chargehigherprices.com.
Fantastic.
Fantastic. Yeah, chargehigherprices.com. If they want to email me, they can just send it. Of course, my name is Scott Sorrell. So they can just send an email if they like to scott@chargehigherprices.com.
Love it. Love it. And do you have like a guide, or you mentioned like over 80 strategies? Do you have any of that content for my listeners to absorb and take away?
You know, right now I am working on two books actually. Fantastic. and I don't have a complete guide in writing on how to charge higher prices on the 80 different techniques.
But I
do have, Tony, do you with your podcast, do you provide, if a speaker or one of your guests has a PDF or an ebook? All right, then what I'll do is I'll send you something, either an audio or maybe some kind of an ebook that you can post with this podcast.
Amazing.
Yeah, and people can get even more.
I'd suggest, Scott, just taking your advice, I'd bring out three books in one go, because you know they're going to pay the middle book, right? $100 book, $200 book, $300 book. You know they're buying the $200 book all day long, yeah?
Yeah, you did say $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 book, right?
Absolutely. Scott, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for giving me your time and sharing some absolute gold with my audience. Really appreciate it. And I know you had some speaking gigs lined up for Europe. So when you finally get to the UK and we're allowed, it'd be great to actually meet for a beer and talk about, continue this conversation.
I would love that, because you know, as you can tell, we're just getting warmed up with this conversation. There's so much more. So one of these days, I'd love to be back and give your audience a little bit more. And then, of course, face to face, if you can buy me a pint,
done.
I'll be right there, because my friend, dark beer is my passion.
Really? There's plenty of that in the UK, I promise you. Tom, Scott, keep safe. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, my friend. Blessings.